began in the 70s, at least in the 70s, we've tracked it back there. This is the infiltration, chosen ones, coming into the churches, coming into the universities, coming, into government and law enforcement, many other places, but now that we have tracked it backwards, it's very clear. They've been sent out to infiltrate churches, universities, so many places, chosen ones. You can call it SRA, MPD, you can call it what you want to, but we're talking about transmuted, those that believe they've been chosen to be a part of the troops of Antichrist. They've been sent into the body of Christ, into the churches, into the universities. Let me track back for you a little bit. Some of you are going to understand this as you look over your shoulder. You're going to realize more so that the crazy things that occurred in the 70s, the beginning of the 80s, the downfall of PTL, the incredible corruption and downfall of Jimmy Swaggart, many other ministries. Got off the phone today, University out west, Christian University. Churches that we've been called to, and I'm going to mention a college that I went to. Without question, satanic, warfare, but the plotted infiltration with the goal of disinformation, corruption, and helping to guide ministries into compromise, losing integrity, causing the division and the blame game, and all the while real Luciferian infiltrators, highly trained, are sitting back and they are grinning with that satanic grin. You know, they've infiltrated churches and they are the ones that have molested children. They're the ones that have gotten into the offices and used the buildings at night. The sub-personalities that went after pastors that brought sexual compromise and financial compromise. They're the ones that have been bringing the oils and the musk smell, demonized objects, right into the university, Christian school, and churches, and Christian counseling centers. Back in the late 70s and the early 80s, I'm at Malone College in Canton. Now, I'm mentioning that one because that's where I went. Young girl on campus, pretty girl, something wrong. She was going to and being taken to a church, Four Square Church in Akron, Ohio. A great pastor, well-known in all the greater Akron area. Deliverances were going on. Out of this woman's mouth came intention. She began to say, or the sub-personalities began to say, we're going to destroy you. We're going to bring you down. That pastor fell. That pastor fell, corrupted. Others in the structure of that leadership fell, corrupted. Massive division in a major, powerful, strong, growing church in the 70s. A chosen one. They didn't know they had a chosen one on their hands. You can deal with the demons, but what about the programmed sub-personalities? What about those programmed to infiltrate, programmed to get in and get next to the leadership and get access to the building and bring the demonized objects? Pastors, leaders, church administrators, school administrators and principals, presidents. If you find a chosen one, a richly abused individual saying they need help, and they've been among you for a while, and you begin to find out they have sub-personalities, demonized, programmed, and can speak many other languages, and know how to do rituals, if you've been having uncanny illnesses, financial troubles, division, confusion, headaches, fatigues, and all the rest, if you're just now realizing you have one of them among you, they've been around a while, you've been targeted, and they're connected to an outside coven. That's the mode of operation. Well, the infiltration of the church is nothing new. Acts chapter 5, Satan enters in through Ananias, Sapphira, going to bring corruption, confusion, destruction. Peter standing there, now filled with the Spirit of God. Word of knowledge, discernment, Satan is stopped at the doorway. No doubt about that. That's what's needed right now in the midst, well, of believers all around the world. If I'm going to tell you that there's 100 million worldwide, more in Europe probably than America, chosen ones, highly transmuted, empowered, programmed, trained. The first generation, well, they're up around 60. Then you go to the second generation, third generation. The fourth generation's already being born. They're 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. And they're being raised among us. Subpersonalities inside, highly trained. They know the ancient twilight languages. You wonder why there's so much warfare in your church and you can't find out where it's coming from? Secret power of lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians 2. It's not that God did not give us a heads up. It's not that God did not prepare us in advance. It's that we have not taken that preparatory, cutting edge revelation to heart, incorporating it into our discernment, letting it be the grid by which we see the world we're living in. Old liberalism, where there was, well, religion and, well, I'm thinking of the Episcopal Church, per se, and I'm thinking about where they are now. Barbara Marx Hubbard, one of the, well, she's 80 years old now, and listen, for a lot of you, she's out there with exuberance promoting the, listen, when I say Luciferic New Age agenda, hundreds of millions worldwide, globalism, and believing that they are part of the pale horse, that the spiritual presence behind their agenda, their evolution of humanity, their evolution to the chaos that comes to cleanse, they're taking delight that 1/4 of humanity will die. Couple billion or more, this has been foretold in the book of Revelation 2,000 years ago, and now we're seeing the fulfillment, or we're seeing the agenda as it is unfolding, as God said it would. He's always exact, infallible, irrevocable. God gives such great wisdom. I've got some things to tell you tonight. And we're going to go on to the notes tonight. Listen, by the way, for those who are listening, internet-wise, welcome. Satellite-wise, welcome. And by the thousands and thousands downloading in countries all over the world, well, we welcome you, and we simply pray in the name Yahweh Adonai. This is God we're talking about. Almighty God, the living Christ in his name, may stretch out his hand to save, heal, and deliver during this 1 hour of providential. There are those that believe. I mean, there are those that write me and say, man, I don't know what you're talking about. My question is, do you know what the gospel of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about? Do you know what 2 Thessalonians 2 is talking about? How about 1 John 2? How about the book of Revelation? How about the book of Daniel? How about in the world that we're living in, where there is destabilization, the embedding of globalism, and a hidden hand that most are beginning to say they feel or sense or know that ominous presence is there, but have no way. Either there are those blindly embracing the counterfeit mask of it. A lot of believers that don't know how to, well, peer into it. Even though God has said, the Spirit of God has said, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Archeon, Exousia, Cosmocrators. We're talking about a hierarchy that is a literal collective worldwide by the hundreds of millions, if not billions of them. Foretold to come in a progressive evolutionary sense and bring more and more layering of spiritual deception and seduction and manifestation to the point of manifesting signs, wonders, miracles, look like Christ's, but they're not. False prophets, false Christ's, false teachers look like the real thing, but they're not. Can you tell the difference? Well, I want to engage you here in the beginning, first 15 minutes, because we want to spend 45 minutes just dealing with the nations in prophetic and evangelistic balance. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the website. If you're looking at the website, www.ShatterTheDarkness.net, let me tell you that the theme for the week is alert, impending danger ahead. It's based on the Greek word, gregoruo, that is used in Colossians 4:2. God commands us, be devoted to prayer, being watchful. Now you say, well, you're into prayer. Well, God said, add into that. Expand your spiritual ability. Expand your spiritual capacity. Every time you take on what the Word of God is saying, you are expanding and growing in and developing in spiritual ability. Acts 9:22, Saul of Tarsus gets saved, filled with the Spirit, begins to do the ministry. That's the starting point. But he grew more and more powerful. My intent during this 1 hour right now is the Spirit of God gripped many thousands of believers, moving us from being 20, 30 years behind in what we need to know in the hour that we're living in, getting us current and packing our spirit, our mind, our heart with the revelation of God, prophetic revelation. One third of the New Testament is all prophetic revelation. No one can tell you about the future in detail, in aspect, the emotions of it goes way beyond WebBot. The actual language and quoting of those in the future has been written down 3,000 years ago in Psalm chapter 2. There's the peoples in mass. Remember what I said yesterday? That critical mass, that developing spiritual global consciousness. Oh, the New Agers love it. The 2012ers love it. And even some of you remote viewers, you know what I'm talking about because you're tapping into the Akashic Records, the same place, well, Casey and others. That's the grid, man. That's the domain. Prince of the power, the Archeon, the prince, the ruler of the domain of the Eros, the immediate dense atmosphere around the earth. A spirit who is now operative worldwide, but through the collective of Archeon, Exosia, the Cosmic Riders. They can call them the Great White Brotherhood, Ascended Masters, Tibetan. They can call them spirit guides. They can call them aliens. They can call them what they want to. But the Spirit of God has named them. Ephesians 6. Many other places. Planos spirits. Oh, highly operative all around. Let me say it again. Welcome to all of you. And we love you. We mean that. We're compelled by the love of Christ. We're glad that if you're listening, being a Luciferian, being a chosen one, being a sleeper out there, maybe one of the troops of Antichrist, you can write to us, email or the snail mail stuff. We have a contact on the website to the right-hand side. We have a phone in. Now, please understand, if you call in, nobody's going to answer and nobody's going to call you back. So I know I've had a few calls where someone has said, Russ, you know, just call us back. And we're not going to be able to do that. It just will be off the charts. We're already behind email-wise and Facebook-wise and even phone calls to those who really need deliverance and help. And it's just a matter of getting, you know, the time to get to everybody. Besides, we're about a week behind, and it looks like because our entire research center has been wiped out, and we now realize we've lost hundreds of books. And the insurance guy now is going to show up tomorrow, by the way. And this is about almost 2 weeks after it's been all done. Now they're talking pulling out walls, construction, thousands. I mean, I just can't even imagine it. So we've just kind of made a makeshift office. That's where we're at today. We're going to just adapt to matter. Whatever's going on doesn't make any difference to me. We got to, I mean, it does, but we got to adapt and keep moving. But I'm just telling you this so to tell you that the book, Awesome Presence, Awesome Power, Awesome Prayers, Awesome Answers, want to get it out to you as soon as I can. But we're not going to have it before the conference in Connecticut. Doesn't look like it anyway. The C Conference. I am urging many of you to come. March 25th, 26th, 27th. Take a look at the website. Scroll down a little bit. See the little black, it's kind of like a picture. It says C. Click on it or click to the right where it says register. You can see more about it. And then right below that, the politics of religion, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Got some friends saying they're going to be there. Now, we're going to be there also April 1st, April 2nd, and we're really hoping that you will come to that one, and we look forward to seeing you. And we're beginning to look at a possibility with a friend that listens from Montana. Love to come to your church, love to come to your Christian school, love to come to your area. Doesn't take much. We can tell you how to do it. There's no big, massive costs involved, and we'd love to be there. But again, we want the timing of God and the hand of God to open those doors for effective ministry. And when we come, we want to see people get saved, too. We've done about 16 baptisms last year at the conferences and saw people get saved right in the conferences. We love to do the prayers. And listen, that's what we're doing right now. We know that wherever you're at, even if you're listening a month later by the archives, that God is not bound by the time issue. Omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. So we ask the Lord right now to stretch out his hands to you. We're asking God to save you if you're lost, heal you if you need healing, strengthen you if you need that, and to crush the demonic around you in the name Jesus Christ. That name, well, they tremble at that. This is the name given among men whereby we must be saved. And you can call on the name of the Savior. This is God in human flesh, Savior at the cross. This is relationship, not rules, not religion, relationship. You want a relationship with God? There is a door. Gospel of John spells it out. Christ. The living God in human flesh. He's come for you. And right now in this, well, I sense the Spirit of God. He's come for you. He's summoning you. He's calling you. So what are you waiting on? Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Come out of the darkness. Come out of the counterfeit. Come out of waiting. Come out of the addictions. May the Lord Jesus break all those things and open your heart, and you call on the name of the living Christ. He'll come into your life, bring the Spirit of God, and give you the gift of eternal life. And that's initiating your relationship. Either Christ is in you, the living Christ, same one from the cross 2,000 years ago in the resurrection, or he's not. Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his, regardless. You can claim all kinds of spirituality. You can claim all kinds of stuff, but if you have not the Spirit of Christ, my friend, you are none of his. God's not willing that any perish, so I'm going to tell you, I hope that you will come to the one that loves you, that calls you by name. Tonight we're going to talk about Matthew chapter 24. We're going to go there a little bit also. We're going to go back to some of the primary source. Now, I was watching last night on TV, and something about Nostradamus came up. And, you know, again, they were hailing Nostradamus, massive prognosticator, foreteller, prophet, on and on and on and on and on. Though he used a number of different means, including the occult, and tried to use scripture, as did Casey. You do realize Edgar Casey denied Christ, denied him as Savior and Lord, did not believe him, listened to the dark spirits, reframed everything, and accepted the replacement, de-deified. Anywhere you hear about a de-deified, that's central. De-deified Christ, they're not talking about the Christ that died on the cross. They're talking about a substitution, Antichrist. And there's one Antichrist to come, Homo Satanus. By the way, three things, and we're telling you that we have notes on the website that if you want to download the notes as you are listening, you can use them ahead of time if you're doing the archives later on. And listen, just pray and let God give you even more. That's how I used to do it in schools that I've been, in seminars, and when I listened to CDs and tapes and so forth. And I always realized God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, there's an interaction going on. God will speak far more to you than I'll even know. I'm just a man. Yes, the Spirit of God lives in me. The living Christ, I confess, God in human flesh, lover of the human race, Savior, sinless Savior of the human race. And unlike those who are connected to the evolving universe movement or the emergent church Buddhist movement or many of these other things that deny the incredible monogenesis, the one and only of a kind, there is simply Christ, unprecedented, unequaled. We're not talking about an avatar. We're talking about almighty, infinite, immeasurable God coming into human flesh for one reason. For you, God, and no one more than God wants you, desires you, seeks you, summons you, loves you, provided for you. God's way, Jesus said it. Listen to the words. No one comes to the Father but through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through the living Christ. Now check it out, Gospel of John, if you're a seeker. For the believers out there that are listening, I want to tell you something that's very important. If you're 50, if you're 60, if you're 70, if you're 80 years old, what are you waiting on? I listened the other day to Barbara Marx Hubbard, which is one of the grandmothers of the New Age movement, influencing millions at the UN, writing books. She has joined the Planos Cosmocrator spirits. She's joined that entire agenda, and she happily, joyfully, zealously, at 80 years old plus, is promoting Luciferic globalism, declaring that they are the part of the pale horse that, and the spiritual movement that will oust, destroy, kill, as a good thing. I mean, they're describing the slaughter of one-fourth of the human race as a good thing. A cleansing. Can you imagine that? It's like they're saying that it's a smart thing, that it's a wise thing, that the only way the planet can evolve and there can be a transformation of humanity to a new spiritual level is this, you know, there are those that are holding all of that back. And so I tried to tell you yesterday, a growing global critical mass, a anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Israel for that matter too, a development is growing out of the spirit realm into the collective unconscious, as some people call it, young and remote viewers. Tapping into it. That's the realm in which the dark side is communicating, influencing. If you understand Ephesians 6 and the arrows, Christian, listen, your struggle not against flesh and blood. Why the armor of God? Well, part of the armor of God, lift up the shield of faith by which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. What are those arrows? Voice to skull, voice to human spirit. You know what they are? They're communiques, and there's always a sender. Involuntary thoughts, involuntary feelings, sent by the evil one, sent by that spiritual array that is in opposition to God, that's leading the world to reject the original, reframe everything, and then replace. Once you accept the replacement, you are gripped by the spirit of Antichrist. You're layered and prepared for the coming Antichrist, the mark, the image. And military men and women, if you get that far, Armageddon's not too far away. It's what it's all about. It's what the agenda ultimately is. But listen, in the world that we live in right now, we've been dealing with this week. Well, on Monday, impending danger, your personal life, spiritual warfare. You know, Jesus gave a heads up to Peter and the disciples. And that's what that's all about. Be devoted to prayer, being watchful. Watchful for what? The impending danger, Satan's work, spiritual warfare in your personal life. And then on Tuesday night, we dealt with the world as a whole, not having any idea of the cataclysmic events that are going to come. Wednesday night, we dealt with the church. And because of that, we've dealt with, well, those connected to universities, those connected to churches. We drove off in one of our REAP trips a couple of weekends ago into Pennsylvania. It's an Episcopal church. Satanic infiltration, a chosen one. Maybe even the death of an individual caused by them. Can I ask you, if you're in a church right now, whether you know there's an uncanny level of spiritual warfare? Listen, if spiritual warfare is going on, there's a source. The laws of engagement, they need those doorways. And there's no more powerful doorway than these chosen ones. Because they understand blood ritual and how to summon, how to acquire dark powers, and then how to target and release, target the president of the Christian school, university, target the pastor of the church, the elders and the others, bring demonized objects, causing through their ritual warfare, sicknesses and weaknesses and subpersonalities, highly trained with demonization. What do they want? Well, like with the PTL club back in the back. Do you remember? Do you remember the woman that helped bring it down? Do you remember John Wesley White? Do you remember the stuff that was going on? Do you realize that that was in the day of the unleashing of thousands and thousands of highly trained satanic chosen ones? The methodology, getting in, getting to the head, getting to the top, creating division, creating corruption, creating events within ministries that would bring destabilization in the ministry, but also discrediting, and then causing the rest of Christendom around the country, or even in Europe and so forth, to begin the blame game. Get the Christians to blame one another. Get the Christians to point to each other. Get the Christians to join Satan in slandering night and day the brethren. That's part of the warfare issue. A lot of us need to realize that we've been drawn into the slandering. And slander is only of the flesh or the devil directly, never of God. We must realize that churches that we see compromised, when I look at the Todd Bentley issue, when I see multiplicity there, when I see the infiltration going on, when I see the methodology of infiltration and the methodology of a chosen one and the counterfeit stuff that is going on, which is to me, at this point in history, the pinnacle of their powers of deception, seduction, and intrusion into the body. It burns my britches to see what they're doing to those unaware. I love the fact that Paul was able to say that we're not unaware of Satan's schemes. Christians that say, don't talk about it. Well, you're not being obedient to the word of God. You need to silence yourself for a little while. Silence yourself for a little while and get before God and reopen the scriptures. Some believers have only grown on the basis of a certain level of biblical revelation and not all of it. Would to God that all of us seek all of it. It's been given for that purpose. So I'm telling you now, by a providential sense that I have tonight, university theologians and scholars and teachers, seminaries and universities and big ministries and big named ministries, nationally known ministries, you've been targeted since the 70s. Infiltration has come into the 70s and the 80s, and they are still among so many places. They are still operative in so many places. Now, we did write a book called The Black Awakening, Rise of the Satanic Super Soldier, 664 pages. In that, we describe what we found out in the underground in our counter-infiltration, like the spies of Israel going in, what God showed. Listen, we had to learn the hard way. A lot of critical losses in the 80s and the early 90s. We learned the hard way. It was a battle. Blood and guts, threat of death, attempted murder, and all kinds of stuff along the way. But the spiritual warfare was the worst. Until we understood. You ever read Psalm 73? The guy goes on about all the troubles, looking at the world. It's unfair, it's unfair, it's unfair, it's unfair. Until he hits verse 16, 17. Until he got there in the sanctuary of God, there's where he got his perspective. There's where he got his wisdom. There's where he got God's perspective on life and all that's going on. Then he understood. Everything changes when you get God's perspective. You want to fight on your own. You want to live without armor, without authority, without the power of the word of God. You want to live without doing the mission of God. Well, then you're going to live impoverished, fruitless, anemic, weak, unable to even have influence in your own life. Can you pray? Can you build yourself up in your most holy faith? Yeah, I'm preaching to some tonight only because, and I'm off track tonight. Well, maybe not off track in my mind. Some of you listening, you know. You know the Spirit of God is saying, if you can't build yourself up in your most holy faith by now, you've been a believer 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Haven't you learned to do that? How many are still spectators and spoon-fed and as weak as they've ever been? Powerless to win a soul, powerless to see a direct answer to prayer. And if there's a demonization somewhere, send them off to somebody who knows how to do it. What? Listen, when churches send their demonized individuals off to other places, it is evidence of the lack of the lordship of Christ, lack of the understanding of the authority, the mission, lack of their ability to do the works of Jesus. It is a shame. Sham. Horrible weakness. It should grieve us all as it does the Spirit of God. Every pastor, every spiritual leader, every church should know how to worship with great delight, pray with great thunder, and see the hand of God bring answer right into the sanctuary. Should be able to win souls consistently, disciple others, pray for the healing of physical, mental, emotional issues. See the grace and the kindness of God falling down on everyone, everywhere. And know experientially the power of the Spirit of God. Know how to quote Scripture correctly and live by it. And know how to command demons fearlessly to get, can I say it, to get the hell out of a human being's life. The only way, the authority of Christ. Every believer, listen to me right now. You've been given that whether you know it or not. Go to Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and finally just simply say, Lord, I accept the authority and I know what it's for. Not to walk around with a badge, to walk around with a mission. You've been given authority so you can trample on the dark side and overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will harm you. What are we hiding for? Why is there such stupid, ungodly, Satan-inspired fear among so many believers? Aren't you sick and tired of the fear? Aren't you sick and tired of it? The only way to get out of it is to renounce it, surrender the Spirit of God. Listen, if you ever read Timothy, you've not been given the spirit of timidity, of cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound, spiritually powered, disciplined mind and life. If anybody should be deeply spiritual, the believer in Christ, you and I, we've got every spiritual blessing in Christ. You ever read Ephesians chapter 1? You ever read that part of the Bible? I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to push you. I'm preaching to myself. We need to be pushed a little bit. Backsliddenness, defeat, laziness, all needs to be encountered. You know why? Well, out of our returning our lives to Christ, Romans 12, in view of God's mercy, it's the right act of worship to step in and offer the totality of your life to Jesus Christ. Don't be conformed by the patterns of the fallen world system, by the seduction, the high seduction of this age spiritually. But be transformed. That word's used in the book of Titus chapter 3. It's in reference to the Spirit of God. As you yield your life 100% to the living Christ, closing the back door firmly on the flesh, the devil, and the fallen world system, you open wide to the Spirit of the Lord. Of power, of fire, of grace. Some of you remember what that fire was like. And if the memory goes 10 years past, what's going on right now? Listen, if God seems far away, you answer it. Guess who moved? Wasn't God. We're told in the book of Thessalonians 5, what? We're commanded not to put out the Spirit's fire. God, the Holy Spirit, is operative, powerful, passionate. Listen, God, the Holy Spirit, infinite, unleashing his fire, presence, power, might, leading in prayer, leading in evangelism, leading in discipleship, leading us in spiritual warfare. You ever have the Spirit strategy in spiritual warfare? Some of you out there, you're going to need to stand up and say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of the hidden work of the enemy. Where the covens are, where all this infiltration stuff is, where all this dirty work is going on, this covert work in bringing pain and corruption and division and so much to the church, I want to go directly after it. I've told you already in prior broadcasts. I'm telling you again. We can back this up. Every single city in the United States has covens because they all have the victims. Europe, Russia, England, Australia, Canada, no different there. 100 million, 4 generations, and growing. The platform for the arrival of the Antichrist is broader on a global scale than it's ever been in world history. 3,000 years ago, Psalm chapter 2, the peoples, and then the nations, and then the kings of the earth. Now, the reference there, kings of the earth, as in the book of Revelation, is in reference to political military leaders. Whether the political person is the military leader or they are inseparable from the power in military, it involves military leaders. Listen to me. Soldiers, look up the ranks. You know, look up the ranks, whether in Russia, Cywars, wherever you're at, you've got to understand politics are targeted, governments are targeted, nations are targeted, and you've got to understand military systems, economic systems, all targeted. The Antichrist and a regime to rule the world is going to need a lot of money. You know that, right? A platform of a new government, a new world order. People are hearing it so much now, they're getting sick of it. I think the dark side loves that. Loves the fact that people are getting sick of it. Many people are getting sick of it. I'm wondering whether they're in the mission. Listen, if you're in the battle and you're winning souls and you're leading people to Christ and you are praying and seeing the answer, do you realize prayer's meant to get the answers? Ask and you will what? Seek and you will what? Knock and you will what? That's what it's all about. There should be great power, great answer, great doors opening. You read the book of Acts, and I know I'm a little bit behind, and we're adapting, and I'll get to the next session, but we have a great training called A Field Manual for the End of Days. The book of Acts, we've already got, I think, 3 hours up of it already. We'll try to get you the next one. Our goal was to have 3 hours per week, but we're going to see how things are as we're kind of operating on the fly here. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your love. And that's why I like seeing you at conferences, to give you a hug face-to-face and pray for you as you pray for me. And I need your prayers. Listen, we've got some crazy stuff. Not that we haven't experienced it before, but I know who I'm believed in, and I know who my Savior is, and I know what can be unleashed even from one individual believer, you. I don't care if you're in Russia. I don't care if you're in Mumbai. I don't care if you're in Manila. I don't care if you're in, you know, Berlin. I don't care wherever you're at. If you're in the armed forces anywhere in the world, God God, Almighty God loves you. Almighty God, if you know Christ, is inseparably, unceasingly with you. Can I ask you tonight, if you're thinking through this word, and again, this word, gregoruo, is used also in 1 Peter 5, when believers are told to be alert. Now, the Greek word has the idea, look for the impending danger, the danger of the dark side. Now, you'll find that clearly in Peter 5, that it is in reference directly to satanic presence coming to devour whomsoever they can get a hold of. And if you stand there, armor down, word of God out of your life, prayerless, and you're a believer, and all you want to do is have the love, well, you're going to get beaten up pretty bad spiritually. He's going to ask to sift you and throw you off to the side, and there's going to probably be some believers listening right now. You're in that condition. Beat up, spiritually confused, dazed, afraid to get back up. You feel condemned because Satan's lying to you. Because Satan's saying after he beat you up and knocked your faith down and pushed you to the side because you tried to get up and do something great for God, that Satan doesn't want you to ever stand up again. God does. Who's bigger? Who are you going to serve? On the notes with our 17 minutes left tonight, nations in the prophetic and evangelistic balance. Did you read the caption on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, for those tuning in right now? The nations and the impending danger coming right now. Destabilization, number one. Embedding globalism, number two. And the hidden hand behind it all. Let's ask the question, can national leaders become spiritual champions? Let me ask you again, who do you want to rule the world, Obama? What about England's prime minister? What about King Juan Carlos? What about the chancellor there in Germany? What about Queen Beatrice? Who, Putin? Who do you want? Who do you know out there politically that can solve the clamoring? Do you remember the words? 2,000 years ago, as Yahweh in human flesh. Standing there talking to the individuals. Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us. It's always great to ask God questions. Open the Word of God. Let the Spirit of God lead you. He's got a lot of answers. He's got answers waiting for your questions. You've been trying to figure out in your head. Stop it. You're going to give yourself a headache. And they cried out, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? There's the assumption. You got it? End of the age. New Agers, they want to save the world. In the Luciferic sense, they want this to stop. They want Armageddon to be stopped. They're believing that they can stop Armageddon, stop all the catastrophe. They're believing by intention, by convergences, by taking the drugs. And by the way, many of the 2012ers, I've got an email. I'm not going to reveal the name at all. But many of the 2012ers and New Agers, you know what they do when they get together, taking those mushrooms and those drugs and drinking that wine and getting boozed out and drugged out as they open up to the spirits and then get used, being deceived and then being the promoters of deception that will lead to the greatest destruction of humanity. And they're even convinced that the death of a couple billion people is going to be a good thing. Could you imagine anybody coming out of Auschwitz and Dachau sitting down and trying to convince you that was a good thing? That was a really great thing. Maybe an old black flame, 85-year-old Nazi hanging out at some house, barely able to see, walking around goose-stepping when nobody can watch you. You ever watch App Pupil, the movie App Pupil? What is the sign of your coming, Lord Jesus? And the end of the age. That's the word of God, Matthew 24:3, and the end of the age. Let's say it again, word of God, end of the age. verse 4. And Jesus answered them and said to them, you got questions? You ever read Psalm 34? I sought the Lord and he answered me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. You ever read that? In your personal life, in the broad, this is about world-ending issues here, guys. This is about the end of the world. And they're asking the questions. You know who has the answers? The Creator. You ever read John's Gospel chapter 1? In the beginning, listen. Have you ever read this? Logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Imperfect in the Greek. Always was. Always has been. God became flesh, dwelt for a while among us. When you read verses 1 through 4, what are you going to see? God, Christ, Logos, Creator. Oh, all that exists? Yes, nothing that is out there as far as material creation. This is the infinite one. Who else has the answers? Who else is infinite? Who else is immeasurable? Who else is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent? Who? Who? Who among the gurus and the gods and goddesses in India? Who? Who among the ancient demon gods, Moloch and Baal and many others? Who? The fallen cherub? Are you kidding me? The Luciferian presence? I don't care if you have the whole collective. I don't care. Every demon, every Nephilim, Satan himself. Put them all together. You don't scratch the surface of infinity. On a spiritual level, the finite had no idea of the depth of the infinite God. How about you? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. What are the first words out of the mouth of Jesus concerning the end of the age? It's all about spiritual deception. It's all about the pinnacle, unprecedented, unequaled level of spiritual deception. That's what's behind it all. Jesus' first words, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ. New Agers by the hundreds of thousands of remote viewers right now. Edgar Cayce, new 2012ers, old occultists, the Masons and Mormons. Now, Mormons are going to get mad at me. Glenn Beck devotees will get mad because you say, well, we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. No, you don't. You deny the divinity. The moment you deny the divinity, you deny Christ. You deny the divinity of God in human flesh 700 years before he came. That's what Isaiah said, Emmanuel. When Jesus was standing there after the resurrection, Thomas fell down, knelt down, and screamed out, my Lord and my God, capital G. You deny the divinity, God in human flesh, Christ, then you don't have a Savior. And you have rules and religion, but no relationship with Jesus Christ. He's waiting for you to turn to him. Not to a system, not to a rule, not to a religion, and not to an extra biblical revelation that is not of God. Wherever it comes from. That's one thing that all of the old occultism, the old bloodline, the old Luciferianism, all the spiritual empowerment of the old Nazis, that's where the entire New Age, that's where all the remote viewers are going. All of the spiritual data is coming from the same place. Satanic synchronicity is showing its ugly head. Collectively, it denies the deity of Christ, thus denying the Savior and the power of the cross. That's true for you. Muslims. It wasn't the Spirit of God that guided Muhammad to write that Christ is not God. Thus, you don't know him. I do. You can. Right after Jesus says in verses 4 and 5 all about this spiritual deception, look at verse 5 clearly, word for word, and will deceive many. You realize now that we're talking a few billion people that are collectively deceived by spirituality that denies the deity of Christ, reframes everything, and replaces with sheer, pure, didache of daimonia. Information, data, revelation given straight, directed straight from the collective forces of the dark side, that array. Paul Von Ward called it the collective voices of advanced beings in his own departure from the living Christ and embrace of the spirit of Antichrist. Now, after you read verses 4 and 5, what do you got next in Matthew 24, which outlines the end of the age? Jesus is giving what are the signs of your coming? Spiritual deception off the charts. The goal to deceive many on a global scale. That's true of 2 Thessalonians. That's true of 1 John 2. That's true of the book of Revelation, specifically verse 12 or chapter 12. Then from the spiritual source, it goes next where? Verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. There now you get into this nation. Again. Look at, see what, listen, see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. We're going to get right into the issue of nations. You know why? You know why Satan is after nations? He's after France, after Spain, after England, after, listen, he's after Germany. You know, he's after Russia. He's after the United States, after Canada. He's after India. He's after you to move you towards the final agenda, use you on the field in Armageddon. The goals, number one, destabilization. Number two, embedding globalism. Number three, all because of the spiritual presence behind the ultimate global spiritual deception and the power that leads politics, military, economic systems, and even environmental causes to sheer Luciferic globalism. When I say Luciferic globalism, I'm saying that we're talking about the pinnacle of the full forces of the dark side's manifestation, embedding itself, political ideology and law, military vision, development, weapons specialists, planetary defense weapons, things like that. Well, in all of this, please understand, 3,000 years ago, Psalm 2, God's asking the question about the nations, and he's addressing the peoples, many of the peoples listening, and the kings, the leaders, but also the nations. You know why? Because in Jesus' great commission, listen, Christian, Matthew 28, Jesus says, go into all the ethnos, the nations, make disciples. When you read, and this is massive, most Christians don't even know this verse. Romans 16:25-26. And you look at how it couples prophetic writings, the gospel, and the command of the eternal God. What's it all about? That nations would repent, believe on the living Christ, that nations would turn, that nations, America, by the will of God, command of God, work of God, the collective work of God from Old Testament to New, the gospel is for the nation to turn to Christ. And every believer in Christ should be proclaiming that, should be seeking that. It is God's will. Seek the salvation of your nation. Politicians, evangelize everybody. Go hog wild. Better yet, go heaven wild. There's no greater place in evangelism, no greater excitement, no greater place than the presence and power, manifest works of God. You read the book of Acts, you want to have the presence of God all over, you want a supernatural life, you want to see the unfolding of compassion, the miracle of salvation, and the signs and wonders that follow biblically. The ousting of darkness, come hell or high water, I don't care about the Antichrist, I don't care about the dark side. None of that negates the full presence and power of the living Christ, or of the two witnesses coming, or of the great revival that might be coming. Let me ask the questions in the last 5 minutes. Can political leaders become spiritual champions like Daniel? Well, like in Esther's life, in Deborah's life, in Nehemiah's life. And I want to again point you to Nehemiah chapter 4. You want to see how to lead as a spiritual leader? Look at Jeremiah, 20 years preaching about the impending danger. And what about Philip that went inside Samaria and turned that city, turned the entire... Listen, can you believe... I mean, 500 churches in my city can't turn the city upside down or even seem to have an echo of influence. What's that tell you? Is political revolution possible without biblical spiritual awakening? Answer, no. No, because the closer we get to the end of the age, as Jesus was talking about it, the spiritual presence that guides the political, economic, the destabilization, and the embedding of globalism will become too strong for those who have no defense or spiritual offense. Those who don't have the Spirit of the living God, the living Christ in them, those who do not have the authority of Christ to trample the dark side, overcome all the power of the enemy, those who don't have the armor, those who can't quote the Word of God, those who don't know how to worship to allow God to manifest in great power as a weapon of war, let alone a pleasure and a joy for the believer. Oh yeah, that's right. There's Paul and Silas in prison being mistreated. What do when you can't do anything? Praying and praising, singing them hymns. God directly caused an earthquake, opened prison doors. Do you understand how powerful God is? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, the great word I wanted to give you today, the word of hope, in 3 minutes here is this, Revelation 7:9. It's in the future. It hasn't occurred yet. There will be a great persecution and a goal of annihilating all believers worldwide. It'll fail. I mean, millions will die, but it will fail ultimately. That's all in... See, I'm saying this based on prophetic biblical revelation. It's already sealed. But it does tell you there that there's going to be many in heaven that have come from the Hathalipsis, Hamagali, the great, the tribulation. In this massive persecution, what happens? What does it show you? What does the future show you? In heaven are people from every tribe, every language, every nation, every people group. It tells you that the indestructible nature of the mission of Christ has gotten to the world. Listen, I hope the Russians, the Chinese, and many others are listening tonight. We are now at the end of the hour. We love you. Remember us in prayer. Come to Christ if you don't know him. For those who are believers, well, remember and support too. Keep us out here. We love you.